Parshas Vayakel begins, Kapitel Lamed Hei, Pasuk Beis, the second Pasuk, says, Sheishes Yomim Teose Melocha, Uvayoyma Shvi Yielochem Koidesh, Shabbos Shabbos Vayin LaHashem, Kolo Oise Vayin Melocha Yumos. 6 days of the week, Teose, the Melocha should be done, and on the seventh day should be for you Kedusha, it should be Shabbos, Shabbos for Hashem, and anyone that does work is Chayiv Misa. The obvious question is, why does the Torah have to tell us, Sheishes Yomim Teosa Melocha? 6 days that you should be working. Teosa could mean that it'll get done. One of the pshatim that it says is that Teosa, if someone heeds Shabbos properly and Shemesh Shabbos properly, then the 6 days of work will be done from the Eberen Shalom. He won't really have to work. But simply said, why is the pasuk have to stress to Shesh Shem? Just say, the seventh day of the week, Yilacham Koyde Shabbos Shabbos.
Well, how will we know that for the seventh day of Shabbos? Unless it says Shishim.
The seventh day. Yom Shvi.
Yeah, but how do we know that...
Why do you have to work? Why do you have to work? Why is it Teosim Melocha? What you're discussing is counting days. If you want to say, is there 6 days?
Yeah, 6 days. And it's counting days. Okay, no, 7 days.
But my question is, why does it say Melocha? Why does it have to tell me? I don't have to tell you, on 6 days you should work, and on the seventh day you should rest. You
want that's the question. Okay.
That's the question. The question is why does it say on 6 days you should work? Teosim Melocha. Why? Just say, the 6 days... That you don't care what you do, and on the seventh day, you have to rest as Chakayde Shabbos Shabbos HaMashem. That's the question. A little bit later in the parasha, in Kapitel Lamed Hei, same Kapitel, Pasuk Chof Hei, Pasuk Chof Beis, sorry. Vayuvayuhu Anoshim Al Hanoshim, the men came along with the women, Kol Nadiv Lev Heviyu Chom Vonezem Et Habaz, the men came with the women and they brought together, they brought the Div Lev, they brought donations for the Mishkan of what they wanted to donate for the Mishkan. Rashi says,
it's only repeating what the previous pashas.
I'm sorry?
It's repeating the Truma, Tzav, I mean it's...
right, but that's correct. We're repeating the same, but now we say a specific thing that the men were coming with the women. Until then we were saying, Pashas Truma, we said, we were talking in general of what it is the people can and should do. They can. It says it goes through a list of things in the beginning of Truma, and the Tzav over here...
Well, it's so general, specific.
No, it gives you a very specific list, but it didn't tell you what happened. Over here it's telling you, Vayavayu Hanoshim Al Hanoshim. It doesn't say this Lashon previously. It says of what they should bring.
Maybe that Lashon is.
That Lashon.
But the Lashon as far as, you know, before, you should give to your heart as much as you want to give, as far as gold, silver, and old turquoise and everything, in order to create the Mishkan, it said before. Maybe in a different Lashon.
Correct. Vayakal Pekude is part of it, repeats a lot from Parshas Truma and Tzava.
Okay.
But this point of the Noshim coming with the Anoshim is not stated before.
Maybe it repeats itself because the fact is that these were slaves, and the idea is that we're trying to penetrate their thinking more of it as far as, you know, the halachas are concerned.
Could be. Maybe. But this nonetheless, this part, Anoshim Al Noshim, does not say. We know that it says in Shulchan Aruch that Rosh Chodesh is a Yom Tov for Noshim. Why is Rosh Chodesh a Yom Tov for Noshim? Not for men, but for the women. Over here, it's not just saying that the women brought Zahav or Kesef, like the listing in Truma, but they brought their jewelry. They brought their jewelry, their gold jewelry, their silver jewelry, that's what they brought, the tabas, the kumas, they brought that. In the listing, it doesn't say you can bring a tabas, you can bring a ring. It says it gave you different types of materials you can bring. It didn't give you specifics of, can you bring your gold ring, your diamond ring, can you bring that? That it didn't say. So, the Levush explains that the reason that there is a Yom Tov for women on Rosh Chodesh is because in Parashas Kisisa, When it came time when they were looking for nedavos for the eagle, they told people, come bring your gold.
The women
did not want to bring. The women said, no, we do not want to bring. And in that schus, they were zeicha to Rosh Chodesh. Question is why Rosh Chodesh? What's Rosh Chodesh? So the Das says that the Mishkan, when this happened, when the Nashim were bringing the inauguration of the Mishkan, was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And because Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the head of the months, and therefore, because they gave on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so therefore, the Rosh Chodesh becomes their Yom Tov. So the question is,
wait, the men didn't give on Rosh Chodesh Nisan?
The men didn't give. The women were the ones that were coming forward and giving. It could be the men gave on some level, but the pasuk says, "Vayivayu hanoshim al hanoshim." The men came with the women. The reason why the men came with the women was because the women technically are not really allowed. The wife is not in charge of the money, and technically she gives it, and the men weren't there. It's not a good nedava. There's many halachas if a wife all of a sudden, so if someone's wife goes to a charity event and she raises her hand and says, I'm giving $100,000. And she comes home and tells her husband, I just pledged $100,000. He says, well, we have $101,000, we're rich, we have $101,000 in the bank and you're not giving it. It didn't take effect. She's not allowed to give without the rishus of the Baal. And that's why the men came with the women. But the women were the one that were coming forward, they wanted to give it. So now the question is, number one, Das Baal Zakenim is saying this over here. Why doesn't he say, according to the Lavush, that the reason is because they didn't give to the ego? Then why are we first bringing it down over here? Why are we discussing it over here? And if the reason is because they didn't give to the ego, then again, what doesn't answer what's Rosh Chodesh? If they didn't give to the ego, then it doesn't do with Rosh Chodesh. If you want to say they gave because they gave over here, okay. But if they gave it according to the Lavush that says that they only got the Yom Tov of Rosh Chodesh because they didn't give to the ego, then what's Rosh Chodesh? Why is Rosh Chodesh Yom Tov for them?
Because it's not a Mishkan, you said it before.
But that's not what the Lavush says. The Lavush says that the reason why they were Zeicha to the Yom Tov was because they didn't give to the ego. He doesn't say this reason because he gave to the Mishkan.
No,
that's not what the Lavush says.
According to
Lavush, why isn't the Lavush? According to the Lavush, does not say this reason. That's the Das Kenan Baal Tosfos. According to the Lavush, he says in Parshas Kisisa they didn't give, and therefore they were zeicha to the Rosh Chodesh. So according to Lavush, what's the reason for Rosh Chodesh? So the Gemara Megillah and Daf Dalet says, in the Megillah which we had a short while ago, Mordechai tells Esther Hamalka, go into Achashverosh and save Klal Yisrael. And if you don't, at uveisavich tevedu, you and your whole household, all the generations before you, are going to be destroyed. So the question is why at uveisavich? Why are we bringing in her ancestors? What do her ancestors have to do with this? Mordechai is telling Esther, you better go in, because your job is not to save Klal Yisrael. Why is he telling her about uveisavich? What's the connection? And the answer is because the Gemara tells us, Chazal tell us, that Esther is a connection from Shaul HaMelech and a connection from Rachel Imenu. Rachel Imenu and Shaul HaMelech were known as Snua. They had this amazing midah called Snias. Rachel had this midah of Snias, Shaul had this midah of Snias, and it says Esther had this midah of Snias. So what Mordechai was telling Esther was, there are certain people by nature that are more inhibited. They might exhibit the argoyim that perhaps has nothing to do with Yiddishkeit, that would not dress immodestly because it's a more innate. There's a nature that they don't like to be immodest. So Mordechai was telling her is that tznius or any midah only really works to the extent of what the Rabbanu Shalom wants. It's not just supposed to be a blanket, oh, there's a midah of tznius, the midah of chesed. Avraham Avinu threw Yishmael out of his house. You wouldn't think that's chesed. He threw Hagar and Yishmael out of his house. You can say that's chesed? Avraham Avinu, it says, that he's the av of chesed. So what does it mean?
Because of Torah.
But where's the chesed? But that action of throwing Hagar and Yishmael out, one would think perhaps is not a midah of chesed.
The only thing is that Pharaoh is afraid that it would influence
That is correct. But so you might say he's going against his midah of chesed. It's an excellent reason. I'm not questioning why Avraham Avinu did it. I'm just explaining to you is that the midah of chesed, to say that you're the epitome of the midah of chesed, of doing the right thing, of avodas Hashem, is only if you're doing it for the sake of Hashem. If Avraham Avinu would have said is, you know what, sorry, you're telling me to throw out Hagar and Yishmael, and you're telling me it's because it's going to mess up, it's going to have a bad influence on Yitzchak Avinu. So I can't do it, because the midah of chesed tells me it's not a chesed, I'm throwing people on the streets, it's not chesed. But the answer is like you're saying, the answer is because the Baruch Shalom would mask him to sorrow, because it was a correct thing which the Baruch Shalom wanted for the Ratzon Hashem, and therefore that was begeder chesed. That's not, it didn't go against the grain of chesed. So that's what Mordechai over here was telling Esther. If you're going to sit here and say, I should go into Achashverosh, that's not sneeze, that's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. I can't do that. How can I do that? I should go and try to, she was trying to try to get Achashverosh to want to be with her, and therefore they should bring about the issue of Kali Yisrael. He says, I can't do that. So Mordechai said, you should know, if you do that, you're going to be destroying yourself and Beis Aviv. You're going to be showing that you're part of the lineage of Shaul and Rachel, where their midah is that they're, by nature, they're modest people. It's not that they're doing it for the covet of Hashem. And therefore, after Beis Aviv, you're going to be destroying the whole, you say that people would do, that they were doing it because they were doing the Ratzon Hashem. They weren't really doing it to Ratzon Hashem, they were doing it because that was a midah. And this is, and you want to know, Esther, when you're going in, that is the midah of tznius. Don't think that going in you're destroying the midah of tznius, but that is being a kiyum of the midah of tznius.
Well, she was worried, the fact is that the understanding is that if you go there unannounced, the king could kill you.
That's
why she asked Klai Yisrael to be able to pass.
Yeah.
That is correct, but it could be she wouldn't have wanted to do the whole Maisa anyways. Before that, Mordechai was telling her before that. Then she said she had that fear, and she said to alleviate that, to go fast, so hopefully that wouldn't happen. But even if that wouldn't have been the case, Haman was the one that told Achashverosh to make that gzeira. According to some of the Mefarshim, the reason is because Haman was scared that Vashti, who he had killed, Vashti came from the royal family, and she had a lot of family out there who might want to take revenge on Achashverosh. And that's the reason why Haman was the one that had that rule instituted, that Achashverosh should only if he touches the scepter. He made all these rules to try to keep Achashverosh away from the royal family of Vashti. But nonetheless, Esther might not have wanted to do it because of tznius. Haman, Mordechai was telling him, don't say no because of that, because otherwise you're going to be destroying your house.
What was the...
How come the Megill didn't say that about tznius? They said basically because of the fear of being killed.
That's after.
Before...
But you don't hear, in the Megill, you don't hear about tznius. Do you hear about tznius?
You don't hear that. This is a pshat and why it says before, it says the reason. Why did Mordechai have to threaten her even? It didn't seem like Mordechai knew that. That was that. Mordechai basically threatened her. Says, you better do it. If not, after Beis Aviv, why is he threatening her? Why didn't he tell her, please go do it? And then she'll say, well, one second. I'm scared that he's not going to touch the scepter. I'm going to die.
What does it have to do with sneers? Her going to Achashverosh.
It's not a meet of sneers to go in. She was going to try to seduce the king. That was what she was trying to do.
Which rabbi is saying that about sneers?
I'm sorry?
Which rabbi? Who's saying
that? I've seen it in Mefarshim.
In Mefarshim?
Yeah. Not in one place.
Something new I learned.
Okay. So perhaps that's the pshat over here. The Lavush is telling us that the reason why did the Nashim get the Yom Tov Rosh Chodesh? Because they didn't give by the eagle. But how do you know that the reason why they didn't give by the eagle was because they didn't want to give to the eagle? They wanted to keep their jewelry. Who says? Someone knocks on my door, says, okay, I'm collecting for this organization, do you want to give? And I say, no, thank you. Does that mean because I don't like the organization? No, it means I want to keep my money. So how do you know? So this is the Maisim Mechichim. Actions that a person does sometimes proves and validates why and what he was doing before. So the reason why, even according to Lavush, the Noshim was Zeicha to the Yom Tov of Rosh Chodesh, is because over here, in this parasha, when it came to be giving to the Mishkan, they came running. If they were the types of people that says we want to keep our gold and jewelry, and that's why we're not giving it, then why did they want to give it over here? So the answer is because by the Egel, they would have given it if they thought it was a worthy cause, but they didn't want to give it over there. There wasn't Ratzon Hashem. Over here, when they had the opportunity to do a mitzvah, to bring to be an adas to the Mishkan, they came running.
Maybe the concept is, it says it came with the husbands, Anoshim and Anoshim, right? Maybe because the husbands are forcing them to give the jewelry.
That's not what Chazal said.
Okay,
said
I'm only saying that.
Right,
only because the fact is that they're saying that they came with the husbands.
Right, but I explained the reason why they came with the husbands, because they didn't have, they weren't
allowed. They didn't have the rishus to be right. But maybe it could be the other way also.
Over there, the husbands wanted, on the contrary, see? By the Egel, the Anoshim wanted. The men wanted the gold to be given. It was the ladies who said, no, we're not giving it.
So the Raya is probably because of the Egel.
That's correct.
The Egel could be the answer that since the Anoshim didn't give it, but the Egel, definitely they wanted to give it when it came to the Mishkan. Because they had a positive attitude towards Hashem.
That's correct.
Okay.
And perhaps that's the same reason why the Pasuk says, Sheshes Yamim Teyosim Malacha, Vyemesh Vyishabas. The saying is that how do you know someone is a person who does nothing? He sits in a hut the entire week, 6 days a week. And
maybe
on the seventh day, he does nothing special.
Shabbos?
Sorry?
Maybe you have to earn Shabbos by working.
You don't have to earn Shabbos by working. What do you mean, earn Shabbos?
No, in a sense, because you worked a whole week, you're getting Shabbos. It's like a reward for.
Why would you get a reward for working a week? That's not what the.
Maybe you can't really appreciate Shabbos if you don't work all
week. So that's maybe that's a little bit of the point that you don't appreciate it, but more what I'm saying is that Maisim Mechichim. If a person for 6 days a week he does nothing, and the seventh day a week he also does nothing, how do you know that he's really being Shema Shabbos the right way because he wants to do it for the Ratzon Hashem? But if someone works 6 days a week and he drives a car 6 days a week, and on the seventh day he's sitting and he says, I'm not driving a car today. Why am I not driving a car today? Because it's Ratzon Hashem. Hashem wants me not to drive a car. That's how you know that he's really doing it the right way. And that's why the Pasuk says we need to have this, we need to see is a person real or is he doing it for other reasons? What is the real reason? If a person works 6 days and the seventh day he rests, so we know that the reason why he's doing it is because it says in the Pasuk. A little later, it says in Parashat Pekudei, Numerous times, I'll take one pasuk in Kapitel Lamed Tes pasuk Aleph. It says, "Vayases b'di hakodesh asher la'aron kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe." The parasha says numerous times these words, "Kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe." The obvious question is why couldn't after they finish with the entire building of the Mishkan and finished everything, just tell us once and everything was built? Kashetziva Hashem es Moshe. Why does it have to continuously repeat? It says that I counted, I believe, it was 18 times. In the parasha, it has to say Kashetziva Hashem es Moshe.
Maybe it has to do with the fact that Moshe himself put up the Mishkan and put it down. Put up the Mishkan and put it down.
But that's not what we're talking about here, putting it up. We're talking about every part of the Mishkan. It's by every part that it happens, says Kashetziva Hashem es Moshe. It's not talking about when he put it up. And when he put it up and put it down, that was in the 7 days of the Miluim. That wasn't 18 times, and that wasn't here. That's in Parshas Tzav. That's at the end of Parshas Tzav. Mm-hmm. And when it says right at the end, the last few psukim of Parshas Tzav, that there were 7 days, Moshe Rabbeinu put it up and took it down. But that was 7 days of the Miluim, which is, we're not talking about that here. We're talking about the building of it. The actual building, the original building, the initial building of it. When they put everything together so they had it. That's in a few Parshas later. And that's in the Vayikra Tzav, in Parshas Tzav. When they have everything, so then Moshe Rabbeinu prepared everything and showed Klai Yisrael showed the Kehanim, Aaron and his sons, the Pasuk says, for 7 days, and then they were inaugurated on the eighth day. Aaron and his sons took over as the Kohen Gadol and the Kehanim. A very interesting Pasuk. The Pasuk says that when they collected all these items for the Mishkan, the Pasuk says, "V'hamalacha ha'isa dayim l'chol hamalacha l'aseis ha'isa v'ha'isa." There was enough for everything in the Kapitel Lamed Vav Pasuk Zayin, the Malacha he said Dayam L'chol Hamalacha. So there was enough. They amassed enough material to complete everything. V'Haiser, and it was left over. So the Diriyah asks, was there enough or was there extra? Dayam tells you it's enough. V'Haiser means and there was extra. So just say there was extra. Why does that tell you first it's enough? The Medrash says that what happened with this extra? The Medrash says with this extra, they went and they built the Beis HaMedrash. They made a huge Beis HaMedrash for Klal Yisrael to learn Torah. That's what the Medrash says. So the Divrei Yael explains that the Pasuk is telling you that Hamalacha Hayisadayim L'chol Hamalacha Lasis Oisa, that it was the only that there was enough, and V'Hayisad there was extra. What caused the Shechinah to come down? The only thing that caused the Shechinah to come down is because there was Hayisad. There was enough, but you needed the Hayisad. Two separate things. There was enough for the actual Mishkan, but if you wouldn't have had the V'Hayisad, the extra of the Mishkan, then the Shechinah wouldn't have come down. The Be'ach Moshe explains a little bit further. He quotes a Binyan Ariel that has a question. If there's a gizbar, somebody's in charge of funds, and he collects for a moisit, he collects for something. Now let's assume he collects too much. He tries to raise $10,000, and he raises $15,000. The halacha is, he's only allowed to take that extra $5,000. He's not allowed to use for something in a lower level of Kedusha. He's only allowed to use it for something a higher level, at least equal or higher level of Kedusha. Now, the Mishkan, you would certainly think, is a higher level of Kedusha than the Beis HaMedrash that was built. The Mishkan was the Shechinah rested. So the question is that how, if there was extra over here, what people brought to give to the Mishkan, how is it, you know, how are they allowed to use it for the Beis HaMedrash? What's the chat?
But was as you said before, the higher was a higher learning.
Beis Medrash was higher than the.
Yeah, because they were learning Torah.
But is that higher? But the Shekhinah rested in the Mishkan.
Okay, but still, the idea of Shekhinah wouldn't have been there unless there was an extra.
So that's what the Be'ach Moshe answers. The Be'ach Moshe answers that the Shekhinah was not ready to be there until after they learned. So after they learned, the Mishkan Taka had a higher level of Kedusha because the Shekhinah went to rest there. But if they wouldn't have had the Haiser, they wouldn't have had the extra, and they wouldn't have learned in the Beis HaMedrash, and they wouldn't have built that, then they would not have been Zaycha at all to the Mishkan, to the Shekhinah resting, and that's why they're allowed to use it.
It is. Is it by Amaru, by the way?
Yes.
Okay.
I heard there's a true fact. This happened, I think, 50, 60 years ago. And this is an answer to what does it mean? Why were they leftovers? What was this pshat of v'hoysir? There was leftovers. And so pshat that there was a place in, I think it was Massachusetts, some little town in Massachusetts, and there was a mayoral race, and the two people, they were neck and neck. They ended up, it took weeks until they came to a decision. There was nail-biting results of who's going to win. And one of the people won by one vote. The winner. He walks around, he was ecstatic. He won by one vote. And then, first day he goes out of his house and he starts meeting people. He says, I voted for you, it's because of you that I'm in. And tons and tons of people are coming over him. You owe me big time. It's because of me. If not for my vote, you wouldn't have gotten in. So the reason why there was a heist, why there had to be extra, it's not going with that measure, but the reason why the concept that there should be extra is because the people shouldn't think that if not for me, people shouldn't become Baal Gaiva. If not for me, there never would have been a Mishkan. They wouldn't have had enough. No, we didn't need you. V'haysa, there was extra. Even if you, each individual, wouldn't have given, there still would have been. So you shouldn't think that you're the one, that you're the reason why the Mishkan was able to be completed. The Be'er Moshe says a Moridig of Earth. Kapitel Amites Pasik Membeis Mem Gimel Pasik says Kain Asu Bnei Yisrael Let's call Avoida. And then the Pasik continues after Vayar Moshe Es Kol Amelacha. So Kain Asu Bnei Yisrael did all the Avoida. Vayar Moshe Es Kol Hamelacha. What's the difference between Avoida and Melacha? Zokti Be'er Moshe, Avoida refers to the actual building of the Mishkan. And the Psik der Abasi says, HaMelacha refers to the Melecha Shemayim V'aretz, the creation, the work of creating the heavens and the earth. the Parshas Truma, Kapitel Chofei Pasuk Yud, says Rechein Tasu refers to Ze Or Hagonos Mibriyas Ha'olam, and refers to the light of the original, from the Bria, original Bria of the world that was hidden away because of the Rishon. And when Parshas Bereishis, when it says that the light was created, does not say Vayihi Chain, and it was so. Why didn't it say that he chain? Because the Or was hidden away, and there was not complete light in this world. The light was not complete yet. By the Binyan HaMishkan, when the Mishkan was built, that was when there was a completion of the Or. That was the Shlemus of the Or. And he says, that's why it says, Kain Asu. It says, it's like we said, it says, Kain Asu B'nei Yisrael. When it says Kain Asu, it's talking about Vayihi Chain. That Kain was done. What's the Kain? The Kain of Vayihi Chain, of the original Bria, of the Ur. That's what was completed here by the Mishkan. The Gemara Megillah, Daf Yud Amud Beis says, Yoyim HaShlomas HaMishkan Simcha Gedoyla. There was a tremendous, great simcha on the day of the completion of the Mishkan. What was the simcha gedayla? Not just the completion of the Mishkan, but Zeh Shleimus HaBriya. That was the completion of the entire world. And he says the word Mishkan, Mem, Shin, Chof, and Nun. There's also the letters of Shem, Sham. I'm sorry. Is Shem, Chain. Is Shom Chain. There is the Chain. That is the Chain. The Chain of Vayihi Chain. It does not say in Parshas Bereishis, when it says by the Ur, by the Bria of the Ur, it does not say Vayihi Chain. That Chain happened over here by the completion of the Mishkan, because the Etzem, the point of the Bria, was for the Mishkan, and that's why it says the word Vayihi Chain. The Pitzadik says a Murdi Gavard Bungmar and Shabbos Gav Kuf Yutah says, Kol HaMespal Veru Shabbos V'Omer Vayechulu Keshutiv Machadish Baruch Briyas Ha'olam. He becomes a Shutiv in the Briyas Ha'olam with the Rebbeinu Shalom. He becomes a partner. The Gemara says, Al Tikri Vayechulu Ela Vayechalu. Vayechulu meaning, and they, Vayechulu HaShemayim, they created. Vayechalu is Adam, that's Omar Vayechulu, someone that says Vayechulu, him Vashem were the ones that created the Shemayim Baretz. The Shlok Kodesh says in Maridu Yisoid, that any time a Gemara Chazal tells Al Tikri something, rather read it like this, it doesn't mean that you should just read the other word. Don't read what the Pasuk says, but read it a different way. That's not what it means. Al Tikri means that in order to understand the word in front of you, first read another word. After you read the other word, you'll understand the word in front of you. So he explains, the Pre-Tzadik says, Tzadik HaKoyin explains, Al Tikri Vayechulu Ela Vayechalu Vayechulu HaShamayim V'Oretz V'Chol Tzivon. The Bria was finished, complete. How could it be Vayechulu? With what? How does that come about? Al Tikri. You need first to read the word Vayechalu. When Klal Yisrael come and they say Vayechulu Hashemayim, and they say it and they follow the Ratzon Hashem, then that's the creation of the Bria. If Vayechalu, if Klal Yisrael follow the Ratzon Hashem, the Torah and the Mitzvahs, then Vayechulu, the Bria was complete. There's a famous Maisa with the a Boral Bear, when it was a Talmud of his who was rewriting over his Sefer, the Birka Shmuel, he was putting it into Sefer format. Whenever the Boral Bear referred to the Brisker Rav, Rabbi Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik, he would write a whole Arichas, Harav, Hagoyin, he should live and be well and be good, and a whole Arichas titles and everything. And so this Talmud was going through the Sefer, he found it the first time. Okay, very nice. paragraph later, he finds again a whole long title. And numerous times at the Sefer, he found this whole long title. He figures there's no need to have the whole title every time. I'll just leave the title the first time. And after I took out all the titles, all the extra words that the Rabbi wrote, he just took them out. Now, Baruch Be'er reviewed his Sefer. He got... Pachad, he got mamish fear. He told the Talmud, what are you doing? Why did you take it out? How could you? He didn't know what to do it himself. Talmud says, I didn't think it was necessary. He says, what do you think I wrote a Sefer for? You think I wrote a Sefer for my own COVID? You think I wrote a Sefer so I can have accolades? I wrote a Sefer so people should learn how to learn the Rashba, and how to learn the Mashah, and how to learn the Pnei Yeshua. That's what the point is. I also want them to learn that they have to have certain respect for Gedolim. They should know who the Biskei Rav was, his Derech Halima, his Derech HaTeira. They have to know, oh, Harav, Hagoy, and Ashlita, they have to know all that. It has to be banged into their heads, and every time that it's written, it has to say the whole thing again. Perhaps that's the pshat over here, why the Torah continues to say, Kashasiva Hashem Es Moshe. Keeps on saying it. Why? Because the ikir is, it has to bang into our heads. They have to do Kain Asu. We did Kashasiva Hashem Es Moshe. The purpose of the Mishkan, the purpose of the Bria, is also we should follow the Ratzon Hashem. And Gagrada it says 18 times it says Kashasiva Hashem Es Moshe. Without the Torah, there's no Chai, there's no life. That is the ikir of what the Mishkan was about. And we're supposed to follow the Ratzon Hashem, we should be zeicha to see the ultimate Beis HaMikdash, the true Geula. Have a good Shabbos.